finally record. By the way, we do try to post our recordings on our website at coinsplus.com. It's a bit archaic. And what I mean by that is it's a long story. We've had the website waiting to launch, and people in my industry are challenged, and people in general are challenged. The truth of it is, the volume of business that God's given us over the years is sufficient. We have basically no advertising, we have no real advertising. We're doing 100, not much anymore, but 50 plus transactions a day. And so we're busy, and so I don't always get to everything, and so our website's got some general guidelines on pricing. All you need to know as a client, customer, friend, our prices are nationally competitive, plus, in other words, you're always going to get the best price in the nation for the quality you're buying and what you're getting. And here's what else is crazy. If you're buying like $7, so anyway, you're listening to True Wealth, you're a tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. I'm the president of CoinSplus. I started the business 3 weeks ago, and I sure hope it survives. That's a joke. I've been in business actually 5 weeks. But anyway, you listen no better. I don't think I have a lot of newbies out there. We've been in business since the 90s, and we have the finest facility in the nation. We love Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's our King. And that's who we are. But here's the thing. I was talking to a customer today about sharing with a relative. Folks, the most important thing is believers. So many people have problems. You gotta understand, do people have problems with Jesus Christ? Okay? The Pharisees did. But do they really? I say no, they have problems with Christians. Okay? Christians are annoying in some cases. Why? Well, people's expectations, the laws of God are written on the hearts of man. People know how we self-proclaimed believers ought to behave. We try too hard to always have the right answers for people. We don't get it, okay? You will never win someone to Christ by winning a debate. It's lifestyle evangelism. Most people are that ignorant. They know when they're hurting. They know when they're lost. They know when they're confused. And they want to know what makes your life different. I have been associated with some of the most incredible people. God's led me into that, and they think that I'm amazing in this way or that, charitable giving, whatever it is. But they don't understand that if you're a good human, it's like, no, I love Jesus, and when you seek Christ, you know there's a grand scheme. That God is greater than anything we could ever be, and we want to do good because it's good. Once you become a believer, there's a transformation that takes place, and it's not about self-edification or self-proclamation. I remember I was at a charity event a few years back with a person, a couple that were top and annoying in their industry, spectacular at what they do. And I watched my wife and I give a lot. And it just baffled me. They're not believers, and it's like, I want you to I guess I understand why you do that. He goes, it's to promote your business, and my business isn't even associated with the giving we just did. And he's like, well, yeah, but people know who you are, business-wise. Like, I would not, the amount of money that we're talking about that we gave was so far beyond the amount of money we gave would pay for the most phenomenally incredible marketing program that you can't believe. It's not about that. And I'm dealt with another situation here recently where God put me in a test where I had to deal with a situation where there was immoral and unethical behavior in a person's life, let's put it that way. And I had to make some decisions. And I'm going to tell you, I've said this before on the show, and I'm going to say it again, there's two ways I put it. Do the right thing, no matter the cost. I mentioned recently I had an old guy, 71-year-old, his name's Rick Sorensen, he lives in Spokane. I don't care, I'll box him all day. He's at 3,000-something down-level road. I'm serious, the guy stole hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of gold out of that inventory. He's just, he's corrupt and gross. And I knew. In March, it was time to let him go, and another person who was associated with us just didn't want the confrontation. And so I kind of followed that direction, and it cost me a small fortune. That being to the average person, I'm like, that's huge, dude. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, we move, you know, $60 million a year in product, plus, we've been in business 30 years. We're doing okay, we're fine. Don't worry about that. People get all worried about stuff when I say that. Trust me, I've been in business a long time. I come out of banking and money, and I'm good at what I do. That's the thing with Coins Plus, we're absent. God's showing me more and more and more and more over time, more unique, more solid as a rock. I am. My desire is to be the Lloyd's of London of our industry. What does that mean? Lloyd's of London is probably one of the oldest, most respected insurance agencies or companies, brokers in the world. My whole background's in actuarial science, which is math and numbers and figuring out, you know, what ultimately boils down to the bottom line. I got recruited into a bank management training program out of actuarial training and, you know, moved up fast and furious and was very successful. But I'm good at numbers, I know how to operate and manage things. I also have a decent level of discernment when you get in trouble. First of all, when you get in trouble with or without discernment is first of all knowing if you got it. Don't lie to yourself and say you have discernment if you don't. Most pastors have no discernment. That's not an insult, it's a necessity. Pastors have to open the door to everyone. Come in. Seeker friendly, come to Christ. They're bringing them in the front. If they have discernment, and they can actually see the dark side, they would make different decisions. A pastor's job is to lead the flock. Then, what's important in a pastor's mind, or ministry or whatever, is they have to have somebody. And this is where I think most churches go wrong. Because pastors are very emotional. I've had references from pastors of, oh, have this guy do a construction project. Well then, it blows up and it's not, it's terrible. And then you're like, what the heck? And he goes, well, you know, he was in counseling in our church and him and his wife were really struggling. And he had an affair and it's like, why would you send him to me? Well, he needed the work, okay? Well, that's one perspective. I've had other pastors deal with people that have done, you know, when we built our facility, I tried to hire all Christians. And as I've said, the people, the more people are like, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, it seems the more that they're hurt, that they end up being challenging. The guys that pound the nails, build the stuff, and their work speaks for themselves, that's good fashion integrity. And so, but I've had those situations in the past, and it's not to be so passive. It is personality. How can you lead a flock with deep discernment? You can't. You know, you need someone by you. There's, I mean, I can tell you story after story with churches where the devil, it says there's tears among the wheat. Jesus said that. And he can't uproot the tears because they'll destroy the whole crop. You think that's just a passive statement? And it's not for us to go, oh, Kevin said there's testimony. I'm going to walk around the church. You wouldn't even know. The people that are the tares are going to be the ones you think are they're good. Back in the early 90s, there was a guy from Oregon that was stuck in that cult that I think Jay Peretti kind of spun it into a fictional novel. And there was a little town in Oregon that had been literally infested and taken over. Penetrated, whatever you want to call it, by Satanists. Seriously, I'm talking the sheriff, the mayor, the whole nine yards. They were kidnapping people and whatnot. It was terrible. This girl gets, she grew up that way. She had literally sacrificed babies to the devil. And I'm telling you, rituals, just horrendous things. And they had gone from where they were at in Oregon, somewhere outside of Salem or whatever, into Portland shopping one day, and all of a sudden, these two guys that were supposed to manage and maintain and control all of them, they went in their store until they went outside. As she was waiting outside, the guy comes up with a gospel tract, just slaps it in her hand. Whatever she saw, it wasn't immediate. She knew things weren't right, obviously. And then she said she heard in her spirit run. So she began running blocks and blocks and blocks in Portland, Oregon. She runs to a corner, she's looking both ways, don't know, doesn't know where to go, and a guy comes up to her and says, hey, I don't know who you are, but the Lord told me to give you this. And he gave her $500 cash. So then she finds somehow her way, and all this time for a long time, to the bus station, goes in the bus station. Says, I need, what's the next bus leaving? It was going to Spokane, Washington. She ends up on the bus, and I'm short story, I'm a short story. Ends up in Spokane, gets here. When she gets off, there's a couple Christian people waiting for her. Believers, and they said, hey, the Lord told us you need our help. Come with us. So she goes and stays at their home and begins to establish herself. They find out who she is, they can't believe it. She ends up, you know, growing and speaking. She's got spiritual discernment. She said they have seekers or whatever in the satanic church that can see spirits. And that literally they can tell children and properties that are playing over that they see demons moving around property lines. And they see, and they can tell children, and they watch for children on playgrounds. Who are broken and lost and whatnot. This is one of his missing children. And a lot of them, by the way, come out, folks. And she passed along that on and on this way. And, I guess, ultimately, the story's pretty in-depth, it's pretty amazing. But, discernment. And people have a spiritual ability. She was saying that a lot of people have it, but a lot of people don't. If you're distracted by life, pain, whatever it is, sometimes it will distract you and pull you away. And she said that people that have that discernment, it's just this deep inner self knowledge. It doesn't mean listening to the Holy Spirit, because if you're a believer, you get the Holy Spirit. But how many people, I've mentioned lately, where Solomon said, I searched the world over, and I found one out of 1,000 righteous men. One out of 1,000 men who are right-minded towards God. That doesn't mean that they're sitting up in the North College or some, pontificating in the corner, where they read their theological, philosophical, none of it. It's just men who want to know, like David did, the unabashed. alleged personality of God, period. They just want the truth. A brave man, or woman, or human, whatever you want to call them, is not afraid of the truth. People who are filled with fear, and by the way, folks, fear and faith feel the same. They occupy the same spot in your brain. You cannot have fear and faith simultaneously. Think about it. Yeah, I'm so afraid this is going to happen to me, but I trust you that way. No. They've done all kinds of, you know, back in the 60s and 70s and 80s when they hooked electrodes to people's brains. I'm sure they still do. They've seen where fear and faith light up the same part of the brain. There's no distinction. You either have fear or you have faith, and if you don't know which one you have, then you have fear. It's kind of like the saying that, you know, there's always signs in the world. I heard one from someone that said the world's full of shocks and metals. And if you don't know which one you are, you're not a shock. It's the same with what I'm talking about. If you don't know if you're occupied by fear or faith, you don't have faith. Faith is powerful stuff. It doesn't mean, folks. You know what is probably the best route to take with this? Building faith is tough. When I became a believer, I was so frustrated because of evolution. It was in my brain, polluting my brain, and it was inconsistent with the God that I had just been introduced to. Jesus Christ, it was inconsistent. They contradicted one another. And so I struggled and I prayed to God. And I said, Lord, I want faith. But I knew that God knew what faith looked like, felt like, acted like. And I knew that he was capable. That's it. And he gave it to me, and since that day, I've never wavered in faith. I'm not telling you I don't struggle with trust, because we all want to take things in our own hands. It's very difficult, because, as I've spoken on the show repetitively, we have a major responsibility and accountability associated with free will. You are responsible for your own life, your outcome. I mean, look at Job. Was he personally accountable? Heck yes. Be honest with yourself. Sitting around going, you want fear and cowardice? Well, I don't know. We just need to pray about it. First things I hear people say, we need to pray about things that are absolutely firmly right in the Bible, just unquestionable. You don't need to pray about anything that's been covered. You don't need to pray about anything associated with one of the Ten Commandments. You don't need to pray about anything when the Holy Spirit's already told you what to do. Don't waste your time. You don't need to pray about certain financial decisions when they feel wrong. I found for men and money and banking and all that stuff and the association thereof, how many people are like, they'll be pressured by a man. You know, I have to say, woman, that's, a human. And then they just start feeling it, but they got a problem. And I like, nothing. In my opinion, and I can be corrected if I'm wrong, nothing in from my belief system believes that nothing that is ordained by God comes with a do or die pressure. I'm uncomfortable in a house or marrying a woman if it feels uncomfortable, if you know what's wrong, the pressure's on, give it up. Walk away, what do you have to lose? You trust in the Lord? Is he faithful? Does he own everything on earth? Is he the Master, the Almighty, the King of Kings? If he is, what are you worried about? If he's not, what are you worried about? I mean, if he's not, then you gotta feed your flesh. But even if he is, you know, people feed their flesh and they have to make decisions sometimes. I just had a situation where I had to make a very, very, very hard decision based on that has rippling consequences in some of the most privileged aspects of my life. And I had to make a choice between God and a person and a situation, and I don't want to get specific, but it's very hard, but you know what? As I've said earlier, do the right thing, no matter the cost. I also have taught my kids to seek the truth, no matter the cost. Do what's right, period. If you do what's right and it doesn't work out your way, hypothetically, which isn't about anything about what life's about, it's God's way. But say that you did the right thing and you know that when you don't do the right thing, and you don't obey God and things go south on you, it is tough. You know that when people die, the main regrets, and this has been documented timelessly, the main regrets are what they did not do with their lives. It's not what they did. People screw up all the time, but we don't go to our grave with those regrets. It's what we didn't do. Even if someone has kids and they didn't take care of them, it's always what they didn't do. I mean, you know what's weird? There are some sick people in the world that do some pretty evil things. They typically don't have an appropriate level of remorse. That's one thing when you get into colleges and there's pedophilia in a college's presence. How about that? Same difference. Funny how my brain works. College, prison, same difference, band of both. Actually, no, I haven't been to prison, but so I don't know about that right away. But the bottom line is, in colleges, people are taught to, colleges teach us to reject our instincts in every way and rely on our intellect. And intellect is very important. God gave you and me really amazing brains. It's so cool. I've mentioned the fact that we can view ourselves viewing, see ourselves seeing, observe ourselves observing. You got the spirit and the soul and the flesh and whatever's going on there. It's pretty amazing. But we have to walk with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Man. That's where joy is. You're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. It's important to understand what that means. If you have an appropriate respect for phenomenal people, who really cook on the road and do well, you will learn more and more that they are not worth it. Now I'm one of the most acidic political situations in modern history. It's out of control. It's evil, it's rotten. What happened yesterday or Monday? How about the FBI raid on Trump's Mar-a-Lago home compound, whatever you call it, really? Why is that over Mar-a-Lago, the National Archive Recovery Act, or whatever the heck it is, so they go get grand jury indictment against Trump? By the way, after looking with him for 15 boxes of stuff that was turned in for a year and a half. Totally cooperates, etc., etc. But no, no, they had to get a warrant. A warrant's criminal. You don't go to the ex-president of the United States of America with a warrant, you bring him a subpoena. If the president of the United States doesn't respect law, well, I guess we have one like that now, so that was a bad point. If President Trump doesn't respect the law of the land, and the truth is, they have talked so much garbage about this man, they believe their own lies. Donald Trump has more integrity in his pinky finger than the entire Biden administration has combined. Lying, cheating, and stealing, there is no way to be partially corrupt, just a little bit crooked. You are or you're not. Trump called Hillary crooked Hillary because he already is lying for Ted Cruz, which I think was harsh and inappropriate and hurtful and sad. I think Ted Cruz is a slick talker. He was the Harvard king of debate. You know, the guy can talk, and he is a conservative. You know what's sad but good is after being called lying Ted Cruz, I've seen a change in him. He's stopped the repetitive rubbish that he used to spew out of his mouth when he was self-mediating. So God has a plan. Trump is kind of God's man. I'm sorry if that offends you, but I don't know what. So they laid his home, I mean, just so sanctimoniously incorrect, so ridiculously, I mean, terrible. Wait till he's up in his, you know, property in New Jersey. I'm sure that's a real joke or two, but they ransacked, they're supposed to go for a certain set of boxes. They have this judge who used to be a private attorney who represented Jeffrey Epstein. That's the pervert that had the billions of dollars or whatever the law got his money for. He'd take $1, hypothetically, 14, 15, 16, 17, to, you know, private islands, and then let illicit activity take place. Clinton was on his private jets over 20 times. But of course, he never committed any grievous crimes, because he's, you know, he's above the law. Hillary's above the law. I'm sure Hillary doesn't like it, but she doesn't care, because her political progress has been a number one thing. As we move towards this next election, folks, you're going to see some movement in the Democratic Party. I hope and pray they've lost their ground, but my biggest fear is that they stole the last election, and God forbid you ever say that. That's just terrible, even though Dinesh D'Souza documented it. Thoroughly, and then released his video in a foolish manner, where it's like, oh yeah, X day, you can buy it here for $19.99, and then it's gone, and then it's here, and then it's there, and then it's just a pure, pure distribution of something that should align with the needs of the United States of America more than ever. So, I've been around Dinesh D'Souza, I understand him, I think he's a kind man, and he got locked up by Obama because he wrote a movie about him. He's got fear a little bit, he's been, you know, 5 years here or whatever, but the bottom line is, if you know for a fact something like this is so egregious, and so permanent, why wouldn't you just want to give it out for free? The same thing Mike Lindell, who is whatever is my pillow, can you imagine that guy went to jail over meth? and started this multi-hundred-million-dollar company. Can you imagine? The guy had sold, he's added a whole bunch of other products, but at one point, he'd done over $300 million in pillow sales. I don't know about you, but to me, that's pretty cool. That's a lot of pillows. He's good at what he does. He released a lot, and he documented it well. He hired good people, and they showed us that our election was stolen. This isn't opinion. It's just like the 9/11 thing. I can't remember who it was that ran out of the White House with documents associated with 9/11. Hid in their sock. They got caught and they got nothing. And then Trump supposedly had archived documents at his house, which the FBI worked for him, trying to get him to admit fault and guilt. The FBI had taken him down before. They're a police agency. We have lost. The FBI, folks, is the most powerful law enforcement organization in the United States of America and hypothetically the world, okay? Now they're being used as a political tool to attack Mar-a-Lago, and it is a problem. It is a dirty, dark secret. They're evil, they're corrupt, but you know what? I like. They, God, may very well be using this because they're raising the silent beast. Trump came out and said, his speech, his ending comments were unjust. However, and I'm not quoting accurately, but he said it's time, basically, to make America great again, which means this guy's probably gonna win again. It's time. So what they're trying to do with this law act is say, oh, just so you know, a lot of you may already know this, but they're trying to say that he misappropriated or mishandled some well-archivable documents because he was president of the United States and all this is public record and that and that and blah, blah, blah. But here's the issue. So, the NARA Act says if somebody does this, they can A, no longer hold their office, and B, no longer run for office. Let me break some news to you that the Supreme Court laid on years back. The standard for running for President of the United States of America is already written in the Constitution of the United States. And it's like you have to be 35 years old, a natural born citizen, and I don't know if there's much else. Period. Supreme Court ruled years back, there's no private entity, municipality, state, county, government, even federal, that can make a law that supersedes or overrides your right to run for President of the United States. If they had an attorney worth its salt, they would have figured this out. They're setting up a series of deceptions for the American people. And oh, by the way, get your masks ready to go. Because monkeypox or whatever's coming, they are the dirtiest, filthiest, and I'm telling you through history, folks, I've studied this through history. Whenever they have office, they spend all their time, and I'm talking, well over 100 years, 120, 30, 40 years, all the way back to 1800. When the Democrats have office, they grumble and gripe and complain and blame the Republicans for all the stupid thing they do. When the Republicans take office, they go back and try to fix things, but they're incapable of selling themselves, and they also develop internal factions within their political party because of that. It's called political infighting. conservatives in general are fools. And I'm one of them. But I will tell you this. If you are supposed to elect somebody, elect them. Can you imagine the ignorance of, well, I don't agree with either party, so I'm not going to do anything. After the election's over, what are you going to do? Gripe and grumble and complain about how bad they are. If you, vote for something, and if you can't, vote against something. It's pretty obvious a lot of times when the radical socialist Marxists on the ballot and you do nothing, all that's necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. Don't sit on your hands. Take charge. If everyone votes and we still get scored on her, they steal the election and we make it that much more clear. Why are the Dems always fighting for these crazy election laws? And, oh gosh, voter ID, that's discrimination, cause what? Cause black people could never be smart enough to get their own identification. You tell me what you can do in this world without identification, though. I mean, it's the oldest argument. They're still using the 80s arguments on all this stuff. Hypothetically, the midterm elections should swing heavily towards the conservatives. Well, I hope so, but that's why these Democrats are scrambling before the election. They're trying to create a presentation. And I watched the night that Trump was arrested, I probably like whipping myself because I watched CNN, and I watched the rubbish and the garbage that they were spewing out. It was quite the wake-up call. They were so excited about it. It's quite going to be an orange juncture. They have created a level of hatred and vitriol. CNN's market share has gone to zip. But isn't it interesting that they don't figure out? So what do they do? More of what they've done, it's just like it says in the Bible. When God's wrath comes down, the wicked shake their fist at God because there's a lack of remorse, a lack of repentance. And they actually become more hard of heart. And by the way, folks, the secret to relationships, like I'm an expert, but I do know God's love. Repentance and forgiveness. Some people struggle with verbal repentance. Forgiveness may be easier, depends. But I talked a little bit ago about God's perspective on things when I had an issue in my life that was ugly, and I couldn't forgive a person for doing something that was really cold and unfair to me. And I asked God, I said, Lord, I know you know how to forgive. I know that you know what forgiveness looks like, but I don't. Will you show me? And I was sitting in the basement of our house, waiting around for way too long for a computer, or on a website back in the dial-up days. And I literally felt like a hot line from the top of my head all the way down my back. And I stopped and thought, well, that was weird. And then I heard, now you have forgiven. Feel that. So I tried to restore my anger towards a certain person who did. It wouldn't come back. All of a sudden, I saw compassion. I saw the needs of this person. And I'm telling you, again, I'm not like a superstar. But I know God, and I will tell you this. I am so far from perfect, folks, by the way. I'm sure you're comfortable with that, but I'm just wanting you to understand I'm not, like, I haven't met anyone that's holier than thou who lives a high-octane, demanding life. Some of the guys I've seen that seem to be the most ungodly people are, they're stagnant. There was a guy at a church, in college-related situation that everyone was like, he's the most godly professor. So I got to know him. He lived in, the guy was like in his 40s or 50s or whatever. He lived in a little apartment. And he rode his bike back and forth to teach at this college. And he went to church and church events, and that's it. He wasn't changing the world, he was impacting children. But he would be considered righteous. But that's not what God tells us. God tells us righteousness is being right-minded towards God. And God gives us wisdom and direction. And all that we do, it's just waiting for us. That's what Proverbs tells us. It's a God thing. It is rising top out of the ashes. Can you imagine? This personal attack on a man who's worth billions. Moreover, I've been there, not all the way through it, but I got taken out by the owners of automation one time. We were able to go in because President Trump had left and went up to New York or whatever, and Secret Service knew that people were laughing. They said they were sorry, President Trump's gone, and they're like, oh, well, so we have to kind of drive around the place and look like it is over the top. The beauty and magnificence, and you're like, oh, materialism, what would you do with billions of dollars? Trump never signed up for this in a way. He's just Donald Trump. He's an impressive individual, and he deserves the respect he's earned. The disrespect for a president of the United States started with, with Clinton. And bashing on Bush 1. And then Obama bashing on Bush 2. It just has become, now politics is filthy. They run each other down and lie. It's terrible. It's ugly. They don't talk about what they can do. Herschel Walker just won the primary down in Georgia, and he's a phenomenal athlete, an incredible man. But the accusations that are thrown at him are so ugly because these other politicians want to win more than they want what's best for this country. They don't really want the citizens to pick what's best for the country. They just want to win. And so it gets real bad ugly. I mean, ugly. The stuff, the vitriol, the garbage, the crime. So basically, then what happens is then the primaries are over, all this damage is done, hurts are posted, and we need to get at that point united and get back to work. And we need to put an end to that. People should talk about what they can do, not what someone else can't do, or lie and trash on us and, tell us all this rubbish. So basically, a while ago, I started on this financial hypothetical I was going to do. And I talked about the history of precious metals. Gold and silver have been considered wealth and monetary assets since the absolute beginning of written human history. Every civilization that's engaged in commerce has used gold and silver, precious metals-based assets, as their primary and pinnacle forms of wealth and monetary trade. and that pattern has continued without exception for over 4,000, maybe 5,000 years. And every nation that has chosen to debase the precious metals as currency, ding, 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 America, has ended up in a complete and total financial collapse. The Roman Empire, France, and Germany are like a few examples of successful white powers experiencing complete and total collapse after a policy of currency debasement that lasts decades. I mean, big countries take big time to go small, I guess. The economic collapse of Germany was followed by a desperate population that embraced Adolf Hitler as their savior to rectify their lives. We have Biden's new bill, the anti-inflation bill. What is wrong with these left-wing fruit-loops? They basically have, this is the inflation creation bill. It's pure foolishness. It's the Green New Deal. I mean, we're talking trillions now, folks. You don't even know what trillions are. A billion is a million million, or a thousand million, and a trillion is a million million. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. You don't even know what it is. But as they create more and more, that's their answer, really. Oh, we need a new program. We need socialism, we need Marxism, we need people dependent upon our government so we can finally shut the people up. That's why they attacked Donald Trump, because that NAGA said we cannot trust the electorate with our leaders. In other words, we are pompous, arrogant, self-righteous, whatever. And we know better. The elite. They think they know better. And I hope that God uses that Trump situation to rock and roll. So the intrinsic value of precious metals, as I've discussed repetitively, goes back to the teachings of the Bible. The Bible expressly states that gold, silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and some precious stones are true wealth. Simply stated, the basic necessities of life, think about this, are food, shelter, and what? Precious metals, what? Kevin, you're telling me that I need food to eat, I need shelter to protect me, there are reproductive rights, but, and that's funny I said that, isn't it? Because you do have a right to reproduce. But now reproductive rights means killing a baby in your life. Interesting how Satan takes what God created. Remember, Satan cannot create. He can only steal, kill, or destroy. Period. It's interesting how that all pans out in the big picture of things. So gold, silver, I mean precious metals assets, which is a sector. It's kind of like saying livestock. Anything that eats and moves and whatever has its benefits, some for rock energy and strength, some for going in the field, some for, you know, bringing other facets of the species, and some just for eating. Real estate, we've discussed, that's a no-brainer. That's called human life and precious stones, okay? Precious stones, diamonds are it. You want to do an investment portfolio. We have some great diamonds that fulfill solidly, believe me. But you don't want to get into topazes and citrines and all this weird stuff. You don't know what you're looking at. You're going to get taken to the cleaners if you're not careful. So the precious metals allow you to acquire, like I said, the basic necessities of life are food, shelter, and precious metals, right? So the precious metals-based assets allow you to acquire the food and shelter in any circumstance. The Bible also states the precious metals will last until the end of civilization. When it describes people throwing their gold and silver in the streets on the final day of judgment, which of course is complemented by multiple references to gold being used extensively in the construction of heaven. I mean, just open your eyes, folks. I can't believe the number of people I talk to. Well, Kevin, you know that I've listened to for a while. I have these conversations. And, I was gonna do what you were saying, but, I was gonna buy gold a while ago, and it was only $7.50 or $8.50, whatever it is an ounce, and now it's $17 or $18 and it just doesn't seem like a good value to me, so I'm gonna wait till it goes back down. I was just talking to a guy today. When I built my facility, which we officially moved into in 06, they made us do an environmental one study because I used to be a car wash here, and we had to clean up the top 14 feet of dirt and run it off-site through what's called a grizzly, wax it down into half-inch chunks or less, bring it back, lay it down for the first 3 feet. They had us do every 6 inches. This is the wonderful EPA with that 26-year-old cellar. And they had you lay it down, spray this deionizer on it, and even though these huge pieces of excavation equipment had pressed it down or compressed it, when we sprayed it with deionizer, it would shrink more. My contractor at the time said, look at it this way, Kevin. They have the most secure facility in the city because they wanted to make a scene out of my building because I was on Van Street, which at the highest traffic count in Spokane County. So our forefathers, obviously the forefathers of the United States of America, specified through our Constitution and the Coinage Act of 1792 that all U.S. currency must be coined in gold or silver, and the right to coin money must remain in the hands of the U.S. Congress. In 1913, our Congress transferred this right to the Federal Reserve Bank, which was later followed by a relinquishment of the gold standard designed and ordered by our forefathers. The relinquishment is what Eric Nixon did. So, since we relinquished the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has lost 99% of its spending power, and we're currently seeing the pennies that remain of the Federal Reserve Notes devaluing at exponential proportions. So gold's considered an important reserve asset by all world central banks, including the Federal and operating U.S. located Federal Reserve Bank, even though it's no longer the center of the international financial system. As far as we comprehend, the fact that these privately owned banks, or central banks I should say, have and are acquiring enormous amounts of gold is a well-kept, highly minimized, widely publicized secret. Precious metals are the only reserve asset that is no one's liable, which means that, unlike currency, the value of precious metals cannot be affected by the economic policies of any individual or country issuer of currency, or can its value be undermined by inflation or deflation in any country. Precious metals have a track record of holding their real value for many thousands of years, And since they are no one's liability, they can't be repudiated, and holding precious metals is a safeguard against potential unforeseen crises. Precious metals also bring much needed diversity to any financial portfolio because of their low correlation with key currencies and their strong inverse correlation with the dollar. What do you have to lose? And I'm not doing an infomercial. I believe in what I do, and I believe that I can stand with the best of them. I've been around some pretty intelligent financial people. I sat at lunch with Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan, and it was Gary Ellingson, the CEO of Oracle, and Doug Pepper Manchester, and some big real estate guy who owns a bunch of Hyatts in San Diego, Houston, or whatever. And these guys are bright, and I was able, I was right there with them. In fact, by the end of dinner that night, they were asking me a lot of questions. I'm not telling you anything special. But I know my stuff, I've studied it, I believe in it, I want people to know it, I want people to understand it, because I believe in what I do. And I'm in Spokane, Washington, I built the finest facility nationwide. We have no doubt, Franklin, etc., etc., I'm out on ticker to hospital.